Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites imdb.com and onthisday.com. Question number one, which of the following is true about modern American orchestras? Is it A, they generally tune to the pitch A, played by the oboe? Is it B, conductors have thrown cough drops at the audience for loudly coughing? Is it C, no conductor has had a contract allowing them to fire a guest conductor? Is it D, a study found that on average, orchestra musicians' job satisfaction ranked below that of federal prison guards? Or is it E, all of the above are true statements about the modern American orchestra? So what is the truth about modern American orchestras anyway? And question number two, it was on this very day, back in 1965, that the Rolling Stones made their TV in America on NBC TV's Hullabaloo television show. Which song did they perform? Was it A, Get Off of My Cloud? Was it B, Like a Rolling Stone? Was it C, Angie? Or was it D, a rock version of Happy Birthday to the host of the show, Dick Clark? Or was it E, all of the above? Rolling Stone debut on NBC TV back in 1965. What did they sing anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of November 14th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1900, that composer Aaron Copland was born. Copland was known for such compositions as Appalachian Spring and Fanfare for the Common Man. Aaron Copland was an American composer, critic, writer, teacher, pianist, and conductor of his own and other American music. Copland was referred to by his peers and critics as the Dean of American Music. Aaron Copland, born today, back in 1900. And it was 66 years ago today, 1959, that the musical The Sound of Music opened on Broadway at the Lunt-Fontanne Theater. The Sound of Music had 1,443 performances. It opened on November the 16th, 1959, and closed on June the 15th, 1963. But it opened on Broadway today, back in 1959.
She saw it in the window just to call it out her name. She mowed the grass, took out the trash, and saved, saved, saved. Bought it on a Monday, had a gig on Friday night. In the garage in front of her mom, she came alive. She likes to play, she loves to rock. Yeah, she's closer to the bottom, but she's headed for the top. She's got a dream.
Reba
Eva McIntyre's Pink Guitar introduces our country and folk music news. It's titled Brandy Carlile's Returning to Myself is her most distinct album yet. This is written by Michael Rietmulder, The Seattle Times, on the 24th of October, 2025.
But she's headed for the top. She's got a dream to be a star. Dressed in black like a Johnny Cash with a pink guitar.
Over the last handful of years, Brandy Carlile's musical family tree has grown at a rate that would alarm dendrologists. Since releasing her last solo album in 2021, the Grammy-stacking singer, songwriter, producer, and one of the music's most voracious collaborators has helped folk icon Joni Mitchell return to the stage, cut a duo with hero pal Elton John, and produce records for numerous other artists, including fellow Washingtonian Brandi Clark. But there's no small amount of selflessness in ensuring artists like Mitchell and Tanya Tucker receive their flowers, helping others realize their artistic visions, or challenging country music's boys' club with 2019 supergroup The High Women. But it hasn't been entirely altruistic. I really love joining up with other people, like really super going all in, Carlile said, laughing. One of my favorite things to do with my voice is to wrap it around another voice and watch it change. Watch my vibrato sync up to another person's vibrato and my pitch acquiesce to theirs. It's how I love music. Through the context of harmony and collaboration. After performing alongside Mitchell at the last Joni Jam concert at the Hollywood Bowl in October 2024, an awestruck Carlile had this literal and emotional hangover, she said, because I knew on some level it was the last time and that moment won't be recreated. The tireless songsmith planned to unplug for a very long time so I could figure out who I was again and reconnect to myself as an artist. Whenever she was ready to reemerge and make her next album, which became Returning to Myself, which is out now, Carlile intended to do so with guitar-shredding super producer and rock legend whisperer Andrew Watt. Beside producing the most recent albums from Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder, the 35-year-old Watt worked closely with Carlile and John on their joint Who Believes in Angels LP, and the two developed a sibling-like rapport. Carlile wrote a poem that became a title track to her eighth studio album, a casual meetup that she viewed as tacked on to the end of a work trip, accidentally becoming the beginning of her next record. I had already decided that whenever I did make another album, I wanted to make it with Andrew Watt. And Watt showed up for me in a really big way, Carlile added of her primary co-producer, who touched every song but Anniversary. A stream of consciousness poem transformed into a chamber folk dreamland. It's a record of reinvention and rediscovery, filled with songs unlike any Carlile has made before. Often leaning into her singer-songwriter side, but painting with different sonic palettes. Aided by her inestimable and wildly different co-producers and cameos from Justin Vernon of Bon Iver. At times it's cozies, others exhilaratingly daring. It's also an album that affirms the defining mid-career creative run that took Carlile from being a reliable theater filler for a thousand names is not over. Among the highlights are the masterfully constructed A Woman Overseas, a spacious folk soul ballad illuminated by the halos of sister strings, angelic backing vocals. It's a soft landing piano number that reminds us that Carlisle's voice can drop jaws without swinging for the big note, which became a Carlisle trademark during her ascent into popular music's mainstream. Easily the album's biggest head-turner, though, is Church and State, an urgent political rocker that rips through the tight 10-song affair like a tornado. There are post-punky hints of U2's haunting 80s heyday, and later day Pearl Jam, with Carlisle reading Thomas Jefferson's famous 1802 letter to the Danbury Baptist Association in place of a guitar solo. You didn't expect that one coming, did you? Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro introduces our classical music news. It's titled Mozart in the Jungle, a 2014 to 2018 TV series available on Amazon Prime. This is published in imdb.com and downloaded on the 10th of November 2025. The show is given an 8.1 out of 10 star rating by over 26,800 reviewers. Summary? Reviewers say Mozart in the Jungle is acclaimed for its innovative fusion of classical music, drama, and comedy, providing a unique glimpse into orchestral life. Gael Garcia Bernal's performance as Rodrigo is highly praised, along with the show's witty humor. However, some critics argue the humor and character arcs are underdeveloped and cliched. Concerns also arise regarding the authenticity of musical portrayals. Despite these issues, the series is celebrated for invigorating interest in classical music. An IMDb summary describes the series as love, money, ambition, and music intertwine in Mozart in the Jungle, a half-hour comedic drama that looks at finding yourself and finding love while conquering New York City. Brash new maestro Rodrigo stirs up the New York Symphony as young oboist Haley hopes for her big chance. Note also that the IMDb Parents Guide reported a quote-unquote moderate amount of quote-unquote sex and nudity in this series. AI Overview. Mozart in the Jungle was canceled by Amazon after four seasons because of a strategic shift under the new head, Jennifer Salke, who aimed to move away from niche indie projects. The show had been a consistent Golden Globe winner, but its cancellation reflected a new direction at Amazon to prioritize shows of wider appeals. Vivaldi's The Four Seasons introduces our music research and technology. Soprano singer Renee Fleming on The Voice of Nature, how music is good for your health. American soprano talks about how she champions sustainability through music and her work to highlight music's health, benefits, and the arts. This is written by Natasha Rogai, South China Morning News, on the 11th of November, 2025. I don't want to hit people over the head and make them sorry they came to the concert, Renee Fleming said with a smile, but I do want a sort of collective, we love the planet. The American soprano was talking about Voice of Nature, the Anthropocene, the title of her 2021 album, and Renee Fleming, Voice of Nature, the concert she was performing in Hong Kong. At 66, Fleming has lost none of the beauty and glamour which, combined with her exquisite voice and dramatic ability, has made her one of the world's greatest opera stars. She seems indefatigable. The city was the second stop in Asia following Shanghai, and she gave 3 lectures in Hong Kong in addition to her 2 concerts. What drives her is her desire to bring home the message about sustainability and biodiversity. She said the Voice of Nature project began as an album which she created with Canadian conductor Yannick Nezet-Séguin at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Fleming had always been interested in how so much of the great poetry of the 19th century had framed the human condition through the lens of nature, and then set to music, she said. Yet later art songs tend to deal with other subjects, so I wanted to compare our relationship with nature in that period with now. The album won a Grammy in 2023, and Fleming decided to take the concept on the road. The shows performed with the Hong Kong Philharmonic Orchestra on October 24 to 25 of this year had a first half consisting of songs related to different aspects of nature, accompanied by a film created by the National Geographic Society to match each number, and therefore performed in a continuous sequence. Audiences were asked not to applaud until the end. The incorporation of a visual element helped to bring home the message about sustainability and biodiversity, Fleming said. The films are beautiful, she said. It also is sad. You can see people thinking, it's so beautiful, and gosh, what are we doing to it? But that's the whole point. We have to have hope, and we have to do what we can. The second half of the concert, followed by a more traditional formula, celebrated arias along with songs from musicals, including You'll Never Walk Alone. While the song may remind football fans of Liverpool, it originally comes from Carousel, a show which Fleming performed in 2018 on Broadway, not something many operatic divas have done. I like having new experiences, and that was one I certainly cherish. Despite her exalted status in the classical music world, Fleming has never been afraid to try different things, regularly champion new work in opera, and singing duets with the likes of Sting, Elton John, and Lou Reed. In addition to her musical career, Fleming is involved in numerous activities and has what she describes as a real ongoing passion for using music to promote health and wellness. For years, she used to suffer from physical pain caused by performance pressure. It was a kind of pain that would lift when I went on stage, but I was tortured for 2 weeks before. A decade ago, this led her to become curious about the connection between the brain and body, and she was intrigued to learn that scientists were studying music. Dr. Francis Collins, who was then director of the U.S. National Institutes of Health, NIH, explained that its new Brain Institute was engaging in this research because music is more impactful than any other activity on the brain. It activates every mapped area that we know about. Believing that the public would be interested to know about this, Fleming became actively involved. She has published a book on the subject, Music and Mind, Harnessing the Arts for Health and Wellness. And she is a World Health Organization Goodwill Ambassador for Arts and Health. Today, after what Fleming describes as a wonderful 10 years of involvement with the NIH program, this is no longer being funded, following massive cuts to the budget by the current U.S. administration, cuts which were announced this year. Hopefully it will come back, Fleming said, adding that 40% of the program's budget has been cut. You'd think that research on biomedical issues would benefit everybody. This has not stopped her from continuing to advocate an understanding of the mind-body connection. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the following is true about modern American orchestras? Is it A, they generally tune to the pitch A, played by the oboe? Is it B, conductors have thrown cough drops at the audience for loudly coughing? Is it C, no conductor has had a contract allowing them to fire a guest conductor? Is it D, a study found that on average, orchestra musicians' job satisfaction ranked below that of federal prison guards? Or was it E, all of the above are true statements about the modern American orchestra? And the correct answer is answer E, all of the above are true. As noted in an article in IMDb.com about the TV series Mozart in the Jungle, IMDb.com revealed these trivia items about this series. For example, New York City tenant laws allow musicians to practice their chosen instrument from morning until 10 p.m. in the evening. Sometimes the musicians' union is called in to help their members enforce their right to practice at home. Another one. It costs more to produce an orchestra concert than can be made back from ticket sales, even selling out. So donors are always critical to orchestras trying to make up that difference. Also, there's this. Orchestras traveling on tour will often store instruments in giant shipping containers, which they pack and ship themselves. Currently, musicians who travel must face the concern that an overzealous customs agent will destroy on site an antique bow or instrument because it contains banned items, such as ivory. In this trivia item, in a study from the 1990s, a psychology professor at Harvard University found that on average, orchestral musicians' job satisfaction ranked slightly below that of federal prison guards. Another, modern American orchestra generally tuned to the pitch A, set at 440 hertz, and played by the oboe. In 1936, U.S. time and frequency station WWVH began broadcasting a 440 hertz signal at the first minute past every hour in order to aid orchestras in their fine tuning. It continues to this day. And then there's this. Sometimes batons do accidentally fly out of the hands of orchestra conductors, but these days few conductors would actually throw them at his musicians. Some conductors, like Michael Tilson Thomas, have been known to throw cough drops at the audience for too loudly cleaning their throats during the concert. Modern violin strings, by the way, are made with a steel core or a synthetic core. But some people, particularly those who play early music, still prefer strings with a gut core. The gut strings, made of sheep or goat gut at the center of the string, are thought to be the most natural and human sounding of strings. Again, another. No matter their power or influence, no conductor has yet managed to negotiate a contract which gives him or her the power to fire a guest conductor. And finally, this trivia tidbit. Professional orchestra softball teams include the Philadelphia Orchestra Firebirds, the San Francisco Symphomaniacs, and the New York Philharmonic Penguins. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day back in 1965 that the Rolling Stones made their U.S. debut on NBC-TV's Hullabaloo television show. What song did they perform? Was it A, Get Off of My Cloud? Was it B, Like a Rolling Stone? Was it C, Angie? Or was it D, a rock version of Happy Birthday to the host of the show, Dick Clark? Or was it E, all of the above? Correct answer? Answer A, Get Off of My Cloud. Barry McGuire was the host for that show, which featured the Kingsmen, Brenda Lee, and the Rolling Stones. Hullabaloo was an American one-hour musical variety series that ran on NBC-TV from January 1965 to April the 11th, 1966, with repeats to August 1966. Similar to ABC's Shindig, and in contrast to American Bandstand, it aired in prime time. So let's bid adieu today with a goodbye song from the Rolling Stones. Although most of the Rolling Stones' number one songs come in the upbeat persuasion, one departing somber moment that found success on the same level is their 1973 release, Angie. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time. All those nights with the crowd.